Blog Talk Radio.
I know that my Savior lives, and at the end, He will stand on this earth. My flesh may be destroyed, yet from this body, I will see God. Yes, I will see Him for myself, and I long for that moment. Grandma, I really miss you, and it ain't been the same. I drop a tear when I hear your name. Mariella Holloway, why you gotta be so far away? Used to say, don't worry, it's gonna be okay. But it ain't, it's like when you left, you took the Lord with you. Why couldn't I come when He came to get you? Damn, I really miss you. I had to say it again. I remember the time when I was like 10. Crept up in the neighbor's yard, yeah, being hard-headed. You told me I would get it, you said it. Boy, did I get it, but after you spanked me, you hugged me, kissed me on my forehead, told me that you loved me, and I saw that it hurt you more than it hurt me. I thought, how bad could this hurt be? I know now, that's why it's only done out of love, but I wouldn't give up one more hug from Grandma.
Baby, it's gonna be okay.
Oh, yes,
she used to
way.
Tell me that.
Members just gon' hate me, but I'ma let you know what's been going on lately. Now you know since you left, a lot of things with your kids done changed. Yeah, Jackie's still crazy, don't know what's up with James. Ain't seen Jerry in a while, you know he walk like you. And Renee's back in jail, you know she talk like you. Ricula's doing real good now, she working. Rhonda's still running around, tricking, jerking. Buckeye's bugging, he done lost his mind. And Jarvis, back out of jail, doing fine. Collie, he done changed, it ain't all about self. It's for my father. Well, that's something else. But that's my dog, the oldest grandmother down. My great-grandmother, making a lot of trips out of town. But that's a good thing. And if I could only hear you sing once more, oh Lord, the comfort it would bring. Kids, 11 grandkids, and since then, two of your grandkids and had kids. I had a boy named Tacoma, Xavier's brother. That's right, Xavier means you a great grandmother. I thank you for the best times of my life. I thank you for when you first met her, accepting and loving my wife. I thank you for those Sunday dinners, they were vital. I thank you for my life. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the songs that you sang in the morning.
Amazing grace.
While I'm yawning, I thank you for the two beatings you gave me. Cause I know somewhere along the line, the lesson I learned from the two beatings saved me. When you died, I cried like a baby. I begged the Lord to take me, cause no one else could give me what you gave me. But life, like everything, comes to an end. I pray I go to heaven to see you again.
Amen.
Welcome to another episode, actually an impromptu episode of Table Talk with T. So I know tonight was kind of crazy because everybody's busy watching The Real Housewives of Atlanta. So, Ronan, are you there?
Yes, and I would like to say okay.
I was trying to get my little bit of commentary in, and then I seen you text me, like, get on the show. I'm like, dang, it's already 9 o'clock. You know, I'm not used to Sunday night show, but I did want to put together a show because a few people were asking about it. Hello, everybody in the chat room. See you guys coming on in. I hope everybody's doing good. It's been a crazy few days here. I had to drop my kids off tonight at my mom's house. So I didn't get to see the presidential speech because you had called me about it to see if I was watching it, but I was on the road. You want to go ahead and just kind of talk about that? We could start there.
I caught, like, a portion of it, and I'm looking at it right now. It basically talks about there's going to be no – he's going to do it in whatever power is in his office. He's going to ensure that there's no more mass shootings. Now, that's kind of a tall order to ask for, and we're definitely going to talk about the whole thing about the Second Amendment and how this is going to be quite a tall order to fulfill in a little bit. But I only caught a little bit, but I'm reading on a little bit about it, and he wrote a solid speech, but again, we're looking at the end results of this, and
so he said that he's trying to stop mass shootings.
Yeah, mass shootings. Talk about legislation and really not look. I'm really not liking how this is going to turn out. But again, you know, we're going to get into that a little bit.
Okay. So I'm sure. Okay, of course, everybody has heard by now about the shooting that's happened with the 20 kids who lost their lives at Stony Hook Elementary School in Connecticut. And then it was also some teachers. It was 6 adults, including the shooter himself. And it's just been causing a lot of firestorm. Personally, I haven't really been able to sleep well. I had to work this whole weekend. And yesterday I got up at like 3 in the morning and I had text Ronan. I'm like, okay, I think we're going to have to just do a show. I just had stuff that's just running through my mind. I got to get stuff off my head. I want to talk to my peoples on Blog Talk Radio and just kind of get stuff out there because it is a lot to deal with. And I had to really think to myself today, you know, do I want to send my kids to school? You know, what are the safety procedures? What are they going to do to make things safer? I don't know how he's going to stop somebody from doing a mass shooting. You know, but how can we protect our kids from being safe? Because it's to the point now where the kids are scared to go to school. Because if it can happen there in Connecticut, it can happen anywhere. So it's just been a really, really rough weekend as far as having to deal with that with children and have that conversation. Did you talk to it about, like, any kids in your family, nieces, nephews, or anything like that?
I only talked to my mother about it, and we didn't go too far into it. You know, she had similar stance where I am, and honestly, a lot of the laws are basically for law-abiding citizens. Criminals could give a damn about what legislation you put out there. They're going to find some kind of way to, you know, get around that, or they're not just going to care about what's put out there. So gun laws are pretty much pointless.
Right, and they're saying, G. Stewart was saying in the chat room that at first he had initially thought it was one student and one teacher that was dead. And then it ended up where he found out that it was 20 kids. And I think that's why people are screaming that they want to change, because it was so many kids affected. You know, like I said in my video with my boys, when you take a child's life, you're, you know, basically taking a piece of the future, because that child never gets to live their life. That child never gets to contribute to society and become something with themselves. So I think that's why this is really hitting home, because you know, basically everybody here in the chat room, on the phones, we've all gone to school. We've all been to school. We have kids in school and nieces and nephews, a neighbor. We know somebody in school. So that's why this tragedy hits so close to home. But G. Stewart is making a good point that America was built on violence, and it definitely was. You know, and the sad thing is, like I always say in my videos, it's sad when any kid dies. You know, I don't think it should take a mass shooting for us to have these discussions about gun laws or reforming gun laws. You know, this summer, over 400 kids this past year died in Chicago alone. You know, like I said, every death it's just, you know, it's really sad, and everybody should take time out to, like, just kind of reflect. But it seems like it's only when it's mass shootings that that conversation comes up. When it's a single child or when it's, you know, a drive-by, it doesn't seem to spur that same conversation. And why do you think that is?
You know, there's a myriad of reasons as to why things are the way they are. And hopefully they will stop publicizing this the shooter, because, again, this only encourages other people to try to top that. It's like, you know, Morgan Freeman wrote something about there are a number of people who are looking to be martyrs rather be a, and I'm paraphrasing, rather be, you know, an easy displace nobody. And you got people who will do the Columbine shootings, you have the Virginia Techs, you have, you know, the schools, the incident right here. But I have my reservations, respectively, you know, in light of this tragedy. Because, you know, personally, I feel this is like an emotional Trojan horse, in a sense, because, yeah, when you start killing kids, that's when you get the feeling that the gloves have to come off. But with everything that's going on nowadays, you have to wonder what is going to come to the tail end of it, allowing people to vote for these legislations with, you know, pure emotion and not just any measure of logic or forethought will become this. Because a gun, guns actually don't kill people. It's the people with the mindset to do it. They're just using a tool. If they don't use guns, they're going to use knives. If they don't use knives, they're going to use whatever weapon they can fashion, like dirty bombs.
Well, look at the Chinese people in China that have been stabbing kids. This is the second time it's happened. So right now they've banned all the guns, you know, like in China and other countries. But this crazed man, the same day that we had the school shooting, a crazed Chinese man stabbed 22 Chinese children. I mean, I don't understand how somebody's able to stab 22 people that quick. But he stabbed 22 people nonetheless, and the same thing happened in 2010. So what are we going to start doing, banning forks, knives, and anything sharp?
Well,
you can't ban everything.
And you're right about that. You can't ban everything. But here's my problem. What you got people, with the timing of all this, and as tragic as it is to lose one child, you lost 20. And you had six adults protect those children, and they're going to try to blame it on video games, going to try to blame it on
hip-hop.
You know, the hip-hop or the mother taking them to the gun range. But actually, you have to ask yourself, why did the Department of Homeland Security buy 1.2 million rounds in the same before all this happened?
Right.
That's why I'm, like, raising my eyebrow at this, like, okay, it's messed up. I mean, like, to see this tragedy happen. You already have some dude, some attention whore that went this far to go, I guess, make their name or whatever. The same thing with the guy who did the Colorado shooting. You know, but still, for what? You got the news is not helping by turning this sensationalist nonsense and making this person popular when they shouldn't be. The worst thing you can do to them is render them nameless. But
right, and that was my issue when I posted on Facebook, is that I feel like, you know, when I said to people, I said, okay, right now we're starting to hear the victim's name, so the names of the children, but ask us a week from now if we're going to remember those same kids' names. Name me one Columbine victim. Name me one victim's name from the theater shooting. You can't. I can't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remembered it during that time, but now I have to literally Google who got shot during the movie theater at the Dark Man Rises, you know, but I know the shooter's name, James Holmes. So it's like we make the shooters and these lunatics, we make them infamous, and their names forever go down in history. But the victims are forgotten, and that's the part that bothers me, is how everybody's trying to psychoanalyze this kid and figure out why he did it, and now they're trying to blame the mother, and she shouldn't have had guns, and, you know, everybody's so focused on him, but it's a bigger picture here. Like we said, like somebody said in the chat room, America was built on violence. Everything in this culture is violent, from the music to the video games to the movies that we watch. we've been conditioned, you know what I'm saying, that it's not even, it's to the point that when you hear bad news or you hear people dying, it doesn't even get attention anymore unless it is a mass killing. You get what I'm saying? If this was one lone person who went into a school and killed one person or killed one teacher, it would be sad. It might make CNN, but it's gone within 24 hours. The only
right.
thing that holds our attention is just crazy, a massive violence. You know, it has to be something just, you know, basically just crazy. And that's what gets our attention. So I think the bigger issue is basically, like I was saying, the morals are dead. There's no shame. People don't care. There's a lot more bigger issues in America besides just banning the guns. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it is not the criminals. It's not the gangbangers. It's not the, you know, the drug dealers and the cartels that are going and buying legal guns. They're not walking into gun shops. They're not going to gun ranges. They're practicing in the hood. They're shooting at you. You're target practice. They don't have to go to the gun range. They can just drive down the street and do a drive-by. That's their target practice. So they're not the ones who are buying these guns legally. So my whole thing is just sitting here and doing a background check and saying that mentally ill people shouldn't get guns, that's not resolving the issue. That's a Band-Aid on the issue. So now we ban guns today. What do people think all these illegal guns that are out here and now the guns that these criminals have, do they really think that criminals are going to all of a sudden follow the laws and come drop their guns off in the drop-off box? It's not going to happen. So now let's be realistic, and let's find some other solutions besides just saying ban guns. And then another thing, let me ask y'all this in the chat room. So we decide to ban guns. Are the police going to give up their guns too? Is it going to be like England where the police only have batons? Because if I have to give up my guns, not saying that I have any, the police should too. It's an equal playing field. I don't want you being able to just freely shoot at me.
But you know that's
you know,
not
so, I mean, if we're going to ban guns, is it for everybody, including the military, or is it just the people? And when you ban guns from the people, that kind of makes me nervous because then, you know, basically it's basically a dictatorship. Martial law can go into effect. Just all types of crazy stuff is what I'm envisioning.
And that's the whole thing that I was leading to. Again, like, they're not going to take the guns from the cops. Not going to take the guns from certain officials. But again, you have to look at things, realistic facts that most people are not even talking about. I mean, the Department of Health, Homeland Security, has more rounds than anything right now. They're buying rounds like crazy. Police, they're doing all kind of, you know, extracurricular mess, especially around the holidays now. And for you to intentionally relinquish your guns because of a tragedy, which, again, how sad it is, you know, they're still using that, they're possibly using that as a Trojan horse. That way, when people are charged up, as a look, just take away these guns. But then, with the whole thing with gun violence, this is like blaming forks and spoons for obesity. That's bullshit.
All right. Right. I've heard that too.
Right.
It's not the forks and spoons that's making you fat, it's that it's helping.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. You know, I mean, I've heard that too, but it's just. It's sad. I think it needs to be more logical than people just screaming, you know, ban guns and threatening the NRA or whatever. I think basically, I don't feel like people need semi-autos, you know, semi-automatic weapons. I don't feel like people need those. So I understand that. I think it should make sense. I don't think that nobody needs military-style guns. I just don't think that you need, unless you're in the military, there's no reason for you to have something that shoots 100 rounds. A handgun is sufficient. Something less powerful is sufficient. So that way people can't go out and do mass killings. That, to me, makes more sense than to just say ban all guns, get rid of the Second Amendment. You know, so it's a lot of angles to spin this, but I just think it's a lot of people right now that are just hurt and a lot of people are frustrated. I know I am, you know, because when you see children, innocent children, all these kids, I believe they said none of the kids were older than 6. So these were all literally kids my youngest son's age, you know, they said they were no older than 7. So between 5 and 7 were the ages of these kids, you know, and it's just really, really sad that these kids are not going to be here to be with their families. It's the holidays, you know, and just to see innocence just taken away like that for no apparent reason whatsoever, you know, it's really sad. But I think we need to dig deeper than just saying banning guns. I think it's a deeper issue. I think mental illness is a real thing. I think we need to look into that. You know, back I was reading a lot of stuff on different search engines on Google about, you know, just mental illness and things, what they used to do back then, because I'm just like, it just seems like, where do all these mental illnesses come from? Like, I know there have always been people who are off in society, and they have them, like, in mental homes and stuff like that, but it seems like there's just so many illnesses out, you know, so many things that just mess with your brain, and I just feel like a lot of it is stemming from the drugs that they're pushing people. It's like they push drugs on people constantly, and a lot of those drugs alter the way you think, alter the way that, you know, that your brain works. I think a lot of those drugs are more dangerous than the people themselves. You know, because a lot of these disorders weren't really around even when we were growing up. You didn't have a lot of kids with, quote-unquote, bipolar disorder. You know, there might have been a few, but it wasn't like how it is now. You know, manic depressive disorder. It's like a disorder for everything, and for that disorder, there's a pill. And I think sometimes the medication is the issue. It sounds like the medication is also a Band-Aid.
And it is the issue. I mean, you're looking at the pharmaceutical industry where that's pretty much legalized drug dealers, where we're the guinea pigs. And everything that's supposedly wrong, there's a cure for it, or the illusion of a cure, but there's always some other symptoms that, you know, that come with that. You know, you've seen the commercials where you say, like, well, this is supposed to cure heartburn, but then you get runny diarrhea, you know, sore intestines, you know, blurry vision and all this extra stuff that you didn't ask for. So,
right.
And we just have to keep our eyes on the ball because, again, like, I'm not even taking away from the impact of, you know, what took place because that personally is fucked up. But then don't allow yourself to be overwhelmed with so much emotion and grief to, like, allow some Trojan horse to be passed through that we're going to regret on the tail end of it.
Right. And people are saying in the chat room, Danica's saying that how much you want to bet that Adam Lanza, the killer, he was on drugs. She's saying that her brother is on a pill, and before he got on the pill, he was fine. Once he gets on the pill, he becomes a lot worse. And I've noticed that, too. You know, I have somebody in my ex's family who's bipolar, and she refuses to take her medicine. You know, and this is somebody growing up I used to look up to. You know, she was a hardworking mother. You know, she kept a good job. She was a mechanic. You know, and I don't really know what caused it. I think what caused it personally was drugs, you know, popping E-pills. You know, sometimes people think that it's cool to just pop stuff in the club, and you don't know what they're putting in these, you know, street drugs. You know, and I just think she got a bad batch of pills. But it just seems like ever since then she just hasn't been straight. And they've diagnosed her with being bipolar and all types of stuff. And she's just literally gone crazy. You know, like, she'll just start yelling, talking to herself. Me and her done got into it so bad where I just wanted to literally beat her ass. She was just a stranger off the street. But I had to remind myself, you know what, this is family, and she's not in her right mind right now. So a lot of us don't even know how to deal with mental illness. You get what I'm saying? Because I'm seeing you, and you're totally disrespecting me, and I've done nothing. I literally just walked in the house and said hi, and you're in my face like, bitch, you got me effed up, and that's scary. You know what I'm saying? But this is what's happening out here, and we're not being taught how to deal with mental illness. You know, I love her to death, but when she comes over here, it's like, you know, it's hard because it's like I'm watching beside my kids. I have to keep an eye on her that she doesn't burn my house up or, you know, start cooking, putting pots on the stove with no water and no food.
Right.
You know, but you got the stove on. So it's very difficult. I think we really need to address that issue as well, is how do you deal with mental illness? Because she's a grown woman. She's older than me. So I can't force her to take her medication. Her mother can't force her to take her medication. One time her mom took her to the mental hospital, and they kept her for a 72-hour hold, and she was released. They can't forcibly keep people in mental hospitals because this is not the 1800s. You get what I'm saying? Because then they say it's like you're keeping people against their will or whatever. You know, but when she does take her medicine, it's kind of like a zombie state. You know, but when she's not on it, it's just sad to see how bad she's deteriorated. And like I said, I don't know if it was from the recreational drug use or if it was just something that developed over time, you know. And I feel like sometimes, too, like these medicines that they prescribe at the doctor's office can bring on certain bouts. But it's hard to deal with somebody like that. It really is. So it's easy to judge the mother and say, well, why didn't she know and why didn't she deal with her son better? You don't know what people are going through in their household. Because, like I said, with this family member, she can't come over here like she used to unless she's on her medication because I can't deal with her. You know, it's been too many times where I'm literally sitting on my couch and we're watching TV and she wants to jump up and fight me. You're in my house, I'm going to beat your ass, point blank, period. Like, you're not just about to jump in my face and start, you know, wilding out on me because you're having some type of schizophrenic disorder. You think I'm some stranger off the street. Like, come on. But it's hard because you don't want to just fight her because she's not in her right mind. So it's like, how do you deal with stuff like that? Nobody talks about it, especially in the Black community. We don't like to address mental health issues. We just look at it like, ah, well, she's just going through some things. Now, there's something wrong with her. You know, but it's like if she don't feel like she has a problem and everybody's laughing, it's like, oh, she's just wild out, or that's just her. It's like, nah, that's not normal. That's not normal. You just don't wild out like that.
No. Yeah, I've known people who've had issues as far as with the prescription drugs that they had to take, and it's very damning to watch the effects that, how it really affects them. Like there was a guy I used to I went into business with, and his sons were like always running, especially his oldest one. He loved to run and do all kind of crazy stuff. And then like once they prescribed Prozac, you know, I went to the other room and I sat there and I looked at him for a little bit, and he slowly turned his head and he was like just like a complete zombie. Like he, whenever he moved, he spoke slow. I mean, it was complete opposite of what he was used to being, and it was like unnerving to see that.
Right. It's crazy because you see some people, and I think a lot of people, and I'm not just saying in the Black community, but I think just a lot of people in general are suffering from different mental disorders, you know, just mental illness disorders. And I think a lot of it is coming from the foods, from the chemicals, from the soft drinks, you know, just everything is artificial. And you can't tell me that this is not causing a toll on people. You know, when people are normal, you know, growing up and they're okay, and then all of a sudden as they get older, they're starting to just lose their mind. It's like people are kind of losing their mind at an earlier age now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, it's really sad. Somebody is saying in the chat room, they're talking about their brother's mental illness, and they're saying that it still remains undiagnosed. But even still, they're still prescribing him multiple antipsychotic and mood-altering drugs in order for him to gain control. Other people are saying stuff about chemtrails, and, yep, I do know about the chemtrails. I've heard a lot about that. I've seen some. I've taken pictures of chemtrails that I've seen around by my house. You know, and it might be something in the air. It might be something that's being sprayed, stuff that we're breathing in. You know, so it's a lot of different ways to slice it. But I definitely think that it needs to be discussed, and I think that it's something that should be addressed by the nation. You know, because what are you going to do? There are people out here who are literally mentally ill. Look at the man who pushed that man off of the subway station.
Yeah.
That was a crazy man that was down in the subway station. So what do you do, lock him up for life, even though he wasn't in his right mind?
Well, what about
how do you handle it?
Well, what about the people who just stood there for 10 seconds? Someone could have ran and helped that guy. They just
Right, and then it almost begs to ask the question, who's more sick, the guy who pushed him or the people who pulled out their cell phone cameras, hit camera, waited for it to load, and then took a picture?
Yeah.
And then the response for why they did it is the fact that they were trying to get the train conductor who was feet away attention with the flash on their camera.
Yeah.
They won't even own up to the shit. Somebody in the chat room is asking what is normal. You know, is there even anything, is there even a such thing as normal anymore? And it's almost hard to even fathom what normal is anymore. You know, it's sad that school shootings and, you know, mall shootings and stuff like this are becoming the norm. It really is. Because when we grew up, you know, you might hear about a drive-by every now and then or, you know, a random act of violence. I remember that word, random act of violence. You don't even hear that no more.
No, you don't.
But
look at everything.
You don't even hear that.
Look at everything that some people feel they can gain from a little bit of attention. Like, look at World Star Hip Hop. That's just like CNN for ratchet people. Like, everyone is breaking their neck to, like, you know, scream world star hip hop. They got things on camera phones and whatever, just all the most ratchet stuff out there. And for what? So.
Right.
I don't know. Even when you got an organization like TMZ as a credible news source, that just says a whole lot. Are we falling as a society?
Right. You know, so what do you think as far as, you know, like the parents and people, because I know a lot of people in Connecticut right now are thinking, should they send their kids to school? You know, will it be safe? What ideas do you think as far as safety measures and safety precautions do you think should be placed into schools? Because I've really been thinking about that a lot as well over the weekend.
Stricter measures of entry as far as the school. They're going to have to not just let anyone and everyone come in just because they need verification. I'm not saying ID cards, but they need to show something. Because they're just, mm-hmm. I mean, that to a lot of kids being kidnapped and all the things that we see on television, you know, especially these shootings. Like, again, where's the security at? Where, I mean, matter of fact, what happened to the times when we were going to school, everyone had to go to the principal's office or the front office and get checked in and say, you know, such and such is here to pick up this child or whatever. And they went through that way. Whatever happened to that?
Right. Yeah, now you can just walk in. I mean, it is like really lazy, you know. And I'm not going to lie, I've been guilty of just walking straight to my son's classroom instead of checking in at the front office, you know, instead of making that left and going to the front office and going to talk to Mary. I just go to the right and go straight to his class to go grab him or, you know, if I had to get him earlier, doctor's appointment or something. So then, I mean, yeah, it says something about me for just walking to the classroom, but then it says something about them because where's the security guard to say, hey, who are you and where are you going? Because when I was in elementary school, my dad, when he used to have to come get me early, he had to check in. There was no access to the classroom. Like when you walked into the school, there was a front, you know, office area, and you had to check in before you could go, you know, anywhere in the school. But I understand all schools are built differently, but I definitely agree with you as far as, you know, having more security measures at the door, you know, officers, police officers, things like that, metal detectors. It's going to be interesting to find out how this guy got in because I think they're still trying to figure that out. Because I know they said that the school was secure and the principal had just put in some type of security system where the school locked at 9:30. And they said that the guy came in at 9:38. So it's going to be interesting to find out who let him in or how he got in because it's now come out that his mother was not a teacher and she had absolutely nothing to do with the school. She worked in finance. Because at first they were saying that the mother was a teacher and these were her classroom kids. But they've since come out and say that it was a mistake and the mother was not a teacher and they don't know why he chose that school. So it's going to be interesting to find out how he got in. It really is.
Well, something has to happen because it's sorry enough you got to worry about teachers molesting your children. You got to worry about all these, you know, these slight instances of drugs and alcohol being handed out to the children. Now you got to worry about your children getting shot. So now people are going to look at homeschooling. But then that presents another issue of problems in itself. So,
right.
What is it, honestly, that we can do aside from, you know, having stricter measures on possible homeschooling? I mean, you got to have the resources, probably cheaper sometimes, but it just depends.
Right. Now, it looks like Hoser BF just said that he shot through the front door with his rifle. So that's interesting because when I was watching the news earlier, they didn't know. They were trying to figure that out. So, you know, there's probably more information that's been out since I watched the news earlier, so thank you for pointing that out. So that's how he got in is he shot through the door with the rifle. So maybe we have to start making the doors bulletproof. And VH1 Access was saying that he was watching CNN and they were reporting that a man was shooting bullets in the sky near a mall in California for no reason. So he's saying that people are starting to make a joke out of it. And I know VH1 Access has been really good with sending me all types of stories. And there was one story where I forgot what state it was in, if you can type it in the chat room. But basically two people were arrested not too far from each other. Somebody tried to shoot up an emergency room. Somebody else shot at some parking lot, some shopping center. So it's just been like a lot of little shootings going on. So I don't know if it's the whole 2012 thing and people think the world is coming to an end, so they're just going to act the fucking fool. I don't know what it is. I mean, yeah. You had the shooting at the Portland, Oregon Mall. Then you had these football players, you know, their whole little situation, the football player who shot and killed his wife and then himself or his girlfriend. So I don't know. But well, like somebody just said in the chat room, the shit's getting old.
It is getting old. I agree 110% with that because this is some straight-up bullshit. You know, again, you got – of course you're going to have people who are going to make the 21st the most fucking annoying day ever. You know, it's been said, like, we don't know the time or the hour is going to happen. So it's going to be like the same – more likely it's going to be the same old thing where people said a few years ago – that, you know, the end of the world is going to happen in the summertime in August, and then they moved it to October. Then they said in 2000 it was going to end with Y2J. I mean, again, fear generates a lot of money, just like war.
Right.
It is paralyzing. I mean, again, it's a cash cow. You got, you know, people start things with wars. They test weapons on most times brown people, and then they get to generate profits from making stuff. Or with fear, you can actually instill control. You can make money. And, you know, again, it's like people profit off of confusion and people not being aware. So
right.
This shit has to, seriously. This has to.
VH1 was saying that it was a teen in Oklahoma. So he was the one that was doing one of the shootings I was talking about earlier. Now, let me ask y'all this in the chat room because a lot of people, you know, a lot of the little conspiracy theories are going around. How sincere do you think Obama was when he was crying when it initially happened and he did the, not today's conference, but when it first happened Friday, and he was crying and he wiped a tear from his eye? A lot of people are saying that it's fake. Some people are saying that he has no business crying. Look at Danica. She didn't waste no time. some people are saying that he has no business crying because the same man who's crying about the mass shootings in the U.S. is sending drone attacks and killing other people's children. So that's been a big topic on a lot of forums online, you know, with a lot of people saying, was he sincere? And I'm just the type of person, I don't try and judge anybody's sincerity because that's not my place. You know, it's not my place to say that somebody's not sincere, to say that their tears are not sincere, unless it's some reality TV show mess, you know, that in itself. But I just feel like when I watched it, I mean, it caught me. You know what I'm saying? It did make me feel like, damn, I can just imagine what he's going through because he himself has daughters and they're in school and they're young children. You know, it's not like his daughters are, you know, grown women. They're young children in school. So I think as a father, I felt like it was sincere, you know, because as a parent, you don't ever want to see your child in that particular situation. But I could see how people could feel like, you know, it's fake because he's reading off a teleprompter because, you know, what else is he supposed to do? But it didn't come off as fake to me. You know, I've read everybody's points on why they thought it was fake, but, you know, I felt it was sincere in my personal opinion. You know, I cried, you know, so why wouldn't he? At the end of the day, he puts his pants on one leg at a time like everybody else. You know, I feel like it was sincere, my personal opinion, but as far as the drone strikes and other people's babies being killed, we've talked about that before on the show. That part does bother me, but like I always say, it's easier to blame Obama,
right?
But he's just the puppet. He's the front man. Mm-hmm. He's not making these decisions by himself. He's just the person that we can look at and blame. It's a whole other entity behind him. You know, so I feel like if we're going to hold him accountable, we need to hold everyone accountable for those drone strikes and, you know, those killing children overseas and things like that. You know, because I don't agree with those either. But as far as, you know, people saying that it was fake, you know, I can't, deep down inside of my heart, I don't feel like it was fake to me. Because he's a parent at the end of the day, and I'm a parent. And I know how bad my heart sunk when I got that text message. When you called me Friday, I was shook.
Yeah.
Cause you called me, and I was just like, it's like I could barely talk. I'm just like, you know, I'm shook right now because I'm just sitting here in my room burning candles, watching the news like this is insane because I was just sitting in an elementary school in a desk. I hit my damn knees. I got long legs, and, you know, the kids were laughing at me because I'm like, ow. They're like, what happened? I was like, this desk is too small and too tall for this desk. You know, and they're laughing at me, and, you know, they're just joking and, you know, talking about Christmas. And when we're building the gingerbread houses, they spend more time stuffing their faces with candy, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to building the houses. It's like I'm sitting here putting the frosting on, and I'm like, okay, give me a gumdrop. Oh, I ate it. I'll go grab some more. So it's like I'm around all these children and their energy and, you know, just seeing how excited they are. And then to get that text message, like, I went into an anxiety attack. And it's like I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I should tell the teacher because I wasn't sure if his teacher was aware. But then I'm like, I didn't want to tell her and have her freak out or start feeling some type of way. I didn't want to kill these children's spirits. You get what I'm saying? So I was just like, you know what, let me take my picture with my son. And I was like, I got to go because I felt like I was going to pass out. I was like, I got to go. It was just too much. So I know how I felt when that came across on my phone. And at that time, I hadn't even gotten all the details. All I've gotten is that there's breaking news, a school in Connecticut, 20 kids have been shot.
Right.
And that's what came across to me. So I know how I felt, so I can imagine how he felt being a father. So that's why I say, to me, in my personal opinion, that it was sincere.
Personally, it's not in my interest to say or even worry about if it was faked or not. I mean, granted, you know, he's still a father at the end of the day. But my concern is, you know, not just, I mean, as easy it is to put the blame on him because everyone, you know, especially he's got a bullseye on his head anyway, some respectively and otherwise, you know, just pointless. But where was this level of outrage years ago? Like, why everyone is looking to put one tragedy over another? There's been hundreds and thousands of children who've been lost. You know, this initiative to, like, end this madness should have happened a long time ago. No, I mean, when people were hearing the deal with the Gen 6, they've heard the things with the Darian Alberts, you know, with at least the kids who've been kidnapped, shot, maimed, killed, where people are trying to make light and make T-shirts called Chirac and all this madness. Why aren't the flags at half mast when these situations are taking place? I mean, granted, these children are no better or worse than anyone we've lost, but why now? Everyone wants to get off their hands and say or do something about it. I have real serious issues about this matter. I really do. Really do.
Right. And I think, you know, and that's what I've seen a lot of people talk about in different chat rooms and forums as well, as, you know, is it because this was an upscale community? Is it because, you know, this affected a more white population? You know, and these are just comments I said. It's not to make it a race issue, but this is what's out there. You know, why isn't it national news when 400 black children over the course of a summer lose their lives? You know, and I just think it's just the amount. I think that's just really what has so many people. Because I think because our country is so fucking violent anyways, and we're just used to tragedy. You know, sometimes people get on me on YouTube like, oh, you're always talking about bad news or ratchet stories. Well, am I the one going out shooting people? Am I the one creating these ratchet stories? If these ratchet stories weren't out there, there would be nothing for me to talk about. Let's keep it real. You know, these people are creating the news. These people are doing these particular things. I'm just stating my opinion on what I feel about it. So until you nip it in the bud and change the mentality of people, the shit's going to be out there. So I think what it is people have gotten so conditioned when it's a gangbanger or a young black child or a young minority child that gets shot, it's almost like, another one. Another one. Typical behavior. That's what they do. They don't care about life. They're always killing each other. These are comments that people even write on my YouTube page. You know, look at all the comments that are on the video that I did about Little JoJo and Chief Keef. You know, so I think we just become conditioned when it's minority kids to think that that's the norm. And plus, it's usually one or two kids that might get killed, you know, at that particular time. But with this, I don't even think it's so much a race issue. In my personal opinion, I feel like it's just the amount of the kids that were killed. You know, that's a lot of damn children, 20 children, and then in the manner and where they were killed. I think that's why it's getting so much attention. I don't necessarily think because it was an upscale Connecticut area. I think it's just because of the human aspect of it. Because when you think about it, everybody don't live in the hood. Everybody don't live in Chirac. Everybody don't live in the Inglewood neighborhood. Everybody don't live in North Minneapolis or, you know, in Miami. Everybody does not live in, you know, high crime-ridden areas where, you know, they can put themselves in your shoes. Like, well, damn, okay, well, if I live there, then maybe I'd have more sympathy or, you know what I'm saying? Everybody doesn't live in those areas. So a lot of times they can't relate. You know, some people live in the suburbs. Some people live way out in the sticks. So they're not used to seeing drive-bys and crackheads and all that stuff. So they can't relate to that. So it's just like, well, whatever. But everybody has been to school. Everybody, you know, for the most part, has been in the first grade. Everybody has been a six-year-old child. Everybody has put on their backpack and said, you know what, I was just one of those kids. I love school. I really did. I love school. I wasn't the best student, but I really love school, you know, because I had a real close relationship with a lot of my teachers. And I still remember my first grade teacher, Miss Sajak. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I like school. I was one of those kids, you know, who was happy to go to school and get my backpack. And I remember, and I was telling my sons about this, you know, what was this? I want to say over dinner the night before the shootings happened. We were talking over dinner. And when I was in first grade, matter of fact, I had gotten real sick. You know, you guys know I have a chronic illness. And I was sick. I was in the hospital for a month. And my entire first grade class came to visit me. And I remember for a long time, my teacher gave me a My Little Pony doll. I was telling my son about it because my little sister has the doll now, but it's in, like, my mom's house in the closet, so I'll pull up. But I was telling him about the doll. And, you know, those are memories I have. Like, I remember my teacher giving me the doll. You know, I was in my hospital bed sick, and it was my classmates there visiting me and stuff like that. So, you know, I have a lot of fond memories of school. So I think, you know, this is why people are really feeding into the story, because you can empathize with children being in the classroom, with children being eager to learn, with children being eager, you know, making arts and crafts and getting ready for the lesson for the day. Regardless if you live in the hood, if you live in a damn igloo, regardless of where you live, you can empathize with this story. So I don't think it's necessarily a racial issue or because these are upper class white children. I just think just the way and the manner that these children lost their lives is what's touching a lot of people.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like it's touching on it's really a seriously multi-layered situation because a lot of people are either going to touch on race, some people are going to touch on location, class, and all of that. But I still believe, like, a child of any color or the innocent, like, lost is a tragedy nonetheless. There should always be some kind of measure, you know, to ensure that, you know, we protect each other. These things happen, but you got a mass killing spree. And this is not just one. There's a number of them happening across the country. Across the country. So you just have, again, like, I personally believe that the sensationalism of this nonsense that takes place, because now it's a game to people now. This is how I'm going to get my spot. And if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out with a bang. No pun intended. If the news media would actually report it in a way where these people do not gain anything out of this misery, I think less of this would happen.
Right. You know what makes me sad, too, though? Hoyser BF is saying in the chat room, I only know if I was at Sandy Hook Elementary and if I had my legally owned handgun. I might not have stopped all the killing, but I would at least try to stop it or die trying. So a lot of people are even saying that some of these teachers should be allowed to have guns in the classroom. And that's a whole other can of worms. What do you think? Do you believe that teachers and educators should take firearm training and be able to use the weapons if somebody comes into a classroom? Do you think that's going to stop, or is it just going to be bullets flying and more chaos?
That's a mixed bag right there. I have mixed emotions on that one, because while there's some merit to that idea, again, if we haven't even stopped the nonsense that takes place in the classrooms right now, I shudder to imagine what could happen with teachers holding your children at gunpoint. But that's going to open a whole other can of worms in itself.
Right, because what if the teacher ends up going crazy?
Yeah.
You know, it's in the food. We talk about chemtrails and, you know, people's taking pills. What if she goes crazy one day and there's a damn, you know, gun in the classroom?
Right. And
that's something to think about.
They're not even getting paid enough as they should be. So all it takes, right, settings and conditions where this person either gets fired or something happens to them, or they get accused of something, and then
oh, what? Hell yeah. Right. They might go postal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. And I remember in the 90s when people was going postal, they would come to the job and just shoot everybody if they got fired. There was a few stories like that when we was growing. Now, I remember them stories. But again, it was adults. And, I mean, it's sad when adults lose their lives, too. But, you know, of course, it's going to touch more hearts when it's children. But now, I remember those type of stories as well. But I don't know how I feel about teachers carrying guns or having guns in the classroom. You know, I don't know how I feel about that, because until you're in a situation, you know, people always say something like, people would say the same thing that Hoyer said about the Batman shooting. Like, if I would have been able to have my gun, or if it would have happened in the South, we'd have shot him dead. Because, you know, everybody in North Carolina, they can have their guns. You know, they bring their guns in the movie theaters. So it's like, you know, if I had my gun, I'd have shot him dead. But again, everybody acts like they're howdy doody and they're like the best shot alive. But, you know, you might be aiming at the shooter, but that don't mean that you might not shoot Jim, Joe, and Jill right in front of you.
And,
you know, I mean, unless you're, you know, constantly training and you're a good shot, you might kill five other people while trying to get the shooter.
Well, here's another thing you've got to ask yourself. Because being a Marine Corps veteran, you had to be trained in the set to deal with situations to where it's you and them, period. And most people, yeah, they'll talk crazy and like, yeah, I got a gun, I got this, you know, this caliber and everything like that, and they'll go to the range and everything. But once you're put in that situation, some people freeze up, and you can't even afford to let a second go by, because that can cost you, or you end up shooting the wrong person out of nerves and fear or whatever. So again, if you don't have the mindset or the training to do it, it's best you stand down.
Because I mean, it's easy to shoot at a piece of paper, because you've been in the military, so it's easy to shoot at a piece of paper that's not shooting back at you. But when bullets are flying at you too, I think that's different.
Yeah, it's a whole lot different. It, again, you have to have that mindset where you're prepared for what could possibly hit. Some people are afraid to get shot at. Some people are afraid to get hit. But again, it's like, in those situations, a man in the military in combat, or a woman, all they're thinking about is getting home. That's all they're thinking about. When am I going to see my family again? You know, I just want to hurry up and get out here and be done. And if somebody or some people are standing in the way of that, somebody got to go. And in a situation like in a public setting, you don't see people with the mindset to go out there and just outright and shoot somebody like that. You just don't.
Right. Now, Hoyer is saying, no, I understand what you're saying, Hoyer. He's saying that he's not talking about the teachers right now, but other people earlier in the chat room, they were saying, you know, maybe people are speaking about arming the teachers as well. So I'm not talking about you per se, but he's saying that if he was picking up his child, he would have defended himself, because he's a qualified expert in a 45 auto in the U.S. Army. So that's what's up. You know what I'm saying? I definitely, you know, if you're qualified to do that, cool. I know me personally, I'm not qualified. So I don't know if I was in that situation. I know Darla said it a few weeks ago, the woman that called in and her husband was in the military. She was trying to use a weapon. But like she said, you know, it's different when you're in that situation. How many people can really kill somebody, you know, really shoot somebody? You know, it sounds good on the internet. Oh, if I would have had my gun. And I'm not saying you, Hoyes. I'm just saying people in other forms. And it's like, you know, when you're put in that situation, it can be very, very scary. It really can.
And then
you know,
there's another element to it. It's like you'd be surprised what you can and what you become once you tune into that fight or flight instinct. There's been this where a mother has, you know, lifted up a car enough for someone to get from under it. Or you'd be surprised at the stories that happen. So you don't quite, you're not sure how you're going to respond in certain situations when your life is in danger. So
Right, and that's very true. And I think, you know, that's why I agree with the Second Amendment being held in place for people like Hoosier, people who are trained, who do understand weapons and things like that. I don't think they should be banned, you know. But let me ask you, Hoosier, DF, and I don't even know if I'm saying your name right. I apologize if I'm not. But let me ask you, how do you feel, like semi-autos should be banned? Do you feel like anybody should be allowed to have a semi-automatic weapon? So if you could type in your thoughts, let me know. But it looks like we have a caller on hold. They've been on hold for about 10 minutes here. Let me go ahead and let them in really quick.
All right.
Looks like they're calling from a blocked number. Hello?
Yeah, hi. It sounds like I want to get out my gun. You held me on hold for so long.
Really? I'm sorry. I had just noticed because I was in the chat room chatting. It's on two different screens. I was like, oh, I had somebody on hold. I apologize.
Yeah,
I'm
teasing sort of, kind of. Yeah, I do want to respond to a couple of issues that you raised, though. I missed a solution. Now, you point out, you talk about the Second Amendment. Understand the Second Amendment, if you read its history, that deals with people arming themselves, the populace, arming themselves against a tyrannical government. So the Second Amendment refers to people. It was understood that people would arm themselves to protect themselves against each other, particularly, you know, in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the Second Amendment refers to, government tyranny and having guns so that people can actually fight the government. But you point out here, I'm just looking at your questions, you said, should we ban the sales of all guns? Well, of course not, because criminals don't follow the law. And even if you ban the sales of guns, see, when people talk about banning guns, all they're talking about is banning guns from people who they don't consider would protect them. Because remember, lots of people have bodyguards, armed bodyguards. The president has armed bodyguards. So for the president to talk about banning guns, and I'm not saying he did. I don't think he would do that. That's stupid. But were a president to do that, that would just be stupid. Or a governor. Governors are often guarded by highway patrol or its equivalent. So they are guarded by people who are armed. So being armed is one of the ultimate forms of defenses. Now, we could talk about having security guards on school campuses, although even though we hear about a few of these shootings crop up here and there, I think we exaggerate it and we sensationalize it, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Kids die every day in automobile accidents. They die in drownings, that is, home pool drownings, and things of that nature. So kids are not exempt from dying.
Right.
Agreed, it's what happened is tragic in a way, but most of these killings are done by particular ethnic groups, and I was discussing with some racists today about this. Why don't they... You know, look, why don't they call this guy an animal or call this guy, a beast? They don't do that because they would have to point the finger at themselves if they did that. But you can't ban guns. Guns just allow for the abuse, the wholesale abuse of the group that's disarmed. If you're disarmed, you're a fool. And there's just no reason for that. But I think if one were to consider it necessary to, you know, have guns on a school campus, then you should have a trained person, a security guard. And it's good to take to practice shooting. And that's no guarantee now that, you know, because shooting at a person is different than shooting, I think you guys pointed this out, than shooting at a silhouette or something of that nature. But nevertheless, you can quell or certainly slow down, if not stop, a person with a gun if other people or even one other person has a gun who can fire back or a weapon that they can fire back at the person. But banning guns is out of the question. That's just stupid. You never want to do that.
Right, and that's what I didn't agree with either. Because when you think about a country like Mexico, you know, guns are illegal there. But who has all the guns? They have more killings than anywhere because all the drug cartels are the one with the guns because they basically disarmed all the citizens. So the citizens can't fight back. And, you know, that's what we were saying earlier, that to me, in my personal opinion, that's who gets affected is the good guys. Because the people who are registering are people who are legitimate citizens, you know, who don't have a criminal record. Most are not mentally ill. And they're the ones who are just trying to have a gun to protect their family. So they're trying to take that away from them. The criminals are not registering their guns. Criminals are not going to follow laws. So it's like banning guns to me does not make any sense.
Here.
I don't understand why people think that that's going to be a be-all, end-all solution.
Right, and there's a – can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. There's a deeper issue here, and I don't know if you want to broach that, but I'll just, you know, throw out at it. When you create a nation of people where you injure them economically and you teach them there is no God, I mean, they are merely a cosmic accident. They came here by chance. And they're going to nowhere, you really set people up to do this sort of thing. So we need to think about, and I don't think there's any hope, personally. I'm saying this to you, but I think it's a moot point. But nevertheless, because we are alive, you know, we can try and stave off the inevitable. But the point is that when you teach young people, they come from nothing. Their lives are basically nothing, and they're going to nothing. You actually lay the foundation for this sort of situation. So people say, why not? The greatest thing you can do is take the lives of other people and then take your own life, and so why not? So I think our society really encourages this kind of mania, okay, because we create the maniacs, we sustain the maniacs, we encourage maniacs. And so if people have no accountability, why not do what they're doing? I don't think the average person who, you know, if we would really discuss this philosophically, we could ask the question, why not? Why not do what these people do? Why not kill as many people as you can and then kill yourself? What's wrong with that, given our current and modern way of thinking? So I think we need to understand that our thought processes and our godless mentality actually lays the foundation for this very type of behavior. What do you think?
I definitely agree with a lot of what you're saying, and a lot of people are agreeing with you in the chat room as well. It is definitely mentality. You know, a lot of things have changed. You know, even a lot of people were saying to me on my video that I made that they've taken prayer out of schools. And they feel like they need to bring prayer back into the schools. And while that may be true, again, we live in a society where you can't even say Merry Christmas without people wanting to file a lawsuit and say that it's against their religion. And, you know, it's like it's so – you have to be so politically correct nowadays, you know, unfortunately. So it's like a lot of things are just not what it is, and a lot of people are being brainwashed to think, especially young black males. We talked about this a few shows ago, you know, the mentality of you'll be lucky if you make it to be 18. If you continuously drill that into a young man's head that they'll be lucky to make it to be 18, or they'll be lucky if they don't go to jail by the time they're 21, then what do they have to look forward for? They're not going to care about their lives. And if they don't care about their lives, they're not going to care about my life. So I do agree with you when you said we have to change the mentality of people thinking that there's nothing else to look forward to. And then the whole sensationalization is what irritates me as well. Stop sensationalizing lunatics, because all it does is breed bigger lunatics. And somebody has said something today on Facebook that I found really interesting. They said when a black person or a Mexican or, like, you know, just a minority person commits a heinous crime like this, they're a criminal, they're a thug, it's typical behavior. When a Arabian or Middle Eastern person does something like this, they're a terrorist. But when a white person does something like this, it's mental illness. And I've noticed that a lot as well.
Right, right.
You know,
I raised this issue
so quick
today
to
some white separatist racists. I never heard this guy called a monster. I never heard him called an animal. I never heard the word evil. And they tend not to attach those types of nomenclature, you know, to themselves. And the last, I think, three shootings have been basically of white, either white separatists or, you know, others. And a lot of times we can talk about mental illness, but some of that is actually evil, and there's no way of escaping that.
Right.
For those who know. And but now you mentioned the thing about, I guess, black males. That's a slightly different problem. I think it comes from the same root, but that's lack of family and family training. And structured families. Single females cannot raise either males or females. They can't contribute to healthy communities. Now, that's been tried for the last 40 years. And, you know, at some point, people may want to stop that and take a second look at it.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean,
yeah,
that's
I hear
a very
they kill in Chicago like... Well, they do in a lot of major cities, but I understand that Chicago, Ohio, I mean, they just kill each other, you know, wholesale. And that's lack of respect. That's lack of appreciation for human life. But if they're raised in these families that have no authority, and what do you expect? I mean, it's the chickens coming home to roost, as it were.
Right, right. You know, and I just think the whole situation. Oh, I'm sorry, Ronnie. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, again, you're going to have people on both ends of the spectrum argue that whatever the tragedy that happened in Connecticut, they will say the same thing about the chickens coming home to roost. You know, again, because there's been an intentional bias for some reason. Like, people say, like, the thing about Chicago didn't have to be like that. Or other instances shouldn't have to be like that. Like, they would say it's justified for that guy in Florida to shoot that kid for having his music loud. They're always going to argue that. You're going to have some people who do that. So, again, we have to be very careful about how we word certain things. Because, again, a tragedy is a tragedy. I mean, you got, again, basically homegrown terrorism in Chicago, and it's accepted. Like, it's cool. You can get a T-shirt and say, I've been to Chirac and survived. Straight up. It shouldn't be like that, but again, I just find it real biased and real, real ass backwards personally. That when you have 20 children and 6 adults wiped out, and now it's a national tragedy, but you're getting people slaughtered within a season in a city, and no one says anything about it. It's like, well, that was Tuesday's news. No tragedy is no bigger than the other one. It just isn't.
Well, I think you're going to have to go back to just the basics, teaching common courtesy, decency, and that sort of thing. And not that you'll ever stop it completely, because, I mean, we're humans. Some of us are going to be crazy at certain periods of time. But I do think it can be greatly limited, and I think that's what we're talking about more than anything else. And just like I say, you know, it's so hypocritical. I mean, kids get cancer. Kids die every day. They die from neglect. Like I say, they die from swimming pools. And no one really needs a swimming pool in their yard. Think about that. But nevertheless, we try to make them safe by putting fences around and, of course, watching young children. But they're still going to drown in swimming pools. Why? Because they're there. And also kids who are transported in vehicles. They're going to die, too. Kids are going to die, period. And kids aren't exempt from death, from the same tragedy of adults. But the thing is, I think there is a way to curb it, and the way to curb it is to start teaching decency, because a lot of kids kill each other. See, that's another thing, or young people. And I think the way to address it is to teach respect for human life and to teach common courtesy, which really isn't taught today. And if you take God, and I'm not arguing if it should be taught in school, but I know people are talking about our heart and prayers go out to the people. I mean, when there is a tragedy, God is invoked. Mm-hmm. But I think if you teach the principles relating to God, and virtually all religions do teach some sort of respect for humanity as a result of being created in God's image and that sort of thing. So I think that there is a common distinction with respect to appreciation and respect for human life and dignity across the board vis-a-vis religion. So I think if you don't teach young people this, and this guy was pretty much a young person. I think he was only about 20.
And, yeah, he was 20.
Yeah, but he had no respect for human life, and that didn't just happen, by the way. That was in the making. That was in the cauldron, as it were, for quite some time. And look who he killed first. And I think, you know, as I was discussing this earlier today, there's the big question, why? That's the big question, why? We always want to know that. And, of course, he did mean to kill the people whom he shot, and he would have shot more, I understand, had not there been intervention. But look at the person he killed first and how that person was killed. I think his mother took four shots to the head. He shot her four times. That was the beginning of his rampage. So I think he obviously had serious mother issues.
Yeah.
Right. Now, Jamal in the chat room is saying that he thinks the problem is the older generation are scared of today's youth. So it's hard for them to learn anything when the older generation have basically given up on the youth. And I think that's a really strong statement, Jamal, because I had said that in the video when I spoke about the 11 and 7-year-old robbing that 22-year-old woman at gunpoint, and then nothing happened to him. He wasn't grounded. He wasn't reprimanded. He didn't even go to jail for pulling out a pistol, which if I would have pulled out a pistol on somebody, I'd be looking at a felony. You know, but when she saw that young man come up to the news reporter, how scared. It was sheer terror that you saw in her eyes. So I definitely do understand Jamal's point when he writes that. What do you think as far as addressing that with the older generation, you know, being scared of the youth and not wanting to really take their time out to teach them anything anymore because they think it's like a waste of time?
Well, sometimes that's probably true, but, I I'm calling in. I mean, obviously I haven't given up completely, and
right.
I don't think we should. Even if it is hopeless, I still think we should work against evil and promote, you know, the better. But I think that that's not really true. Although, let me just say this. I think unless we put more emphasis on people who have children, we're not saying you shouldn't have children. But if you have children, they should be brought up in the balanced two-parent home. That is the best situation for children, where they come up in a two-parent committed household. And I think anything other than that is a recipe for disaster. But I understand we may not want to correct women. We may be too scared. We may be too gutless to say to women, in the best interest of the child, have a father present. don't use the government as a surrogate parent because they make a horrible parent. So I think unless we're really willing to go to the fundamentals on this particular issue and really consider the best interest of the children, we're not going to get any resolution.
Right. But, I mean, I think with the single parent thing, you know, we can't paint everyone with one brush because every situation is different.
Say that again, please.
I said with the single parent thing, you know, we can't paint every situation with one brush.
Oh, but
because
we can.
Every situation, we
Let
can?
Let me say, yes, we can, because if you're talking about voluntary single mothers, certainly
we
can.
I'm not talking about that.
Okay, but that's what I'm talking about. Most black kids are born bastards. They're born out of wedlock. That can be stopped if we have the guts and will to do it. That can be stopped. That can definitely be put in check. Even if we have to pay the knuckleheads not to have children prematurely, that can be stopped if we want it stopped. I don't buy that for 1 minute that it can't be stopped. That can be stopped. We may not want to admit that it can be stopped, but that can be stopped. And wait a minute, let me just make this point. If it's not stopped, if a woman has a child and she's not in a committed relationship, we can take the child. We can stop that. Don't ever say we can't stop it. Say we don't have the guts to stop it. We can stop it.
Well, that's one part of the puzzle, because there are those who are married. There are those who are functionally dysfunctional, where you have both parents in the house, but either one or both are fucked up, and they promote fucked up situations. So we have to look at every angle. Aside from the single motherhood and all that, that has its share of problems. And I agree with you on that extent, but it's a lot deeper than just that. A lot deeper.
Right. You know, and I mean, I've heard that before too, the whole single parent thing. And are there a lot of single parents in the black community? Yes. Can it be stopped? Yeah. You know, but we can't place the blame on one or the other. You have a lot of people who do want to be married, who do want to be in relationships, but the father does not want to be bothered, or he's over here with this, with the next chick. And then you have females out here who are not selective. You know, this idiot has three kids by three other women. Why would your dumb black ass come along and be the fourth? So, you know, we can place blame everywhere. I don't think it's fair to just place blame on the females or the males. You have a lot of guys out here who have this damn mama syndrome. You have a lot of these single moms raising, you know, boys to act like fucking children instead of to be men. So there's a lot of blame that we can place, but I feel like you can't paint every situation with one brush, because everybody's not a voluntary single mother. You know, there are plenty of people who are married, and sometimes it just does not work out. Sometimes it's better to let it go than raise your children in a dysfunctional household, or to be beat on, or to be verbally abused, or to, you know, have a parent who's an alcoholic or a drug addict who's not doing the right thing. So I think we have to be careful when we kind of paint people all with one brush and say, well, you're a single parent, so you're not shit. Well, you don't even know how that person became a single parent. It could be a widow situation. It could be a divorce situation or something that just didn't work out. But I definitely do agree with, you know, holding people accountable. And I definitely do agree with, you know, people being smarter, making smarter choices. People who are raised in a two-parent household, I think it does help with the structure, because I was raised in a two-parent household. So the structure was there. But, again, just because you're raised in a two-parent household doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that everything is just A-OK and perfect. Because you can be raised in a two-parent dysfunctional household, let me tell you. You know, you can be raised with two parents and not feel love from either one of those parents. You know, so I think at the end of the day, you know, I respect a lot of the stuff that he was saying, but there's a lot of blame to be placed, you know, to spread around. And it's definitely not just black people who are single parents It's not just black people who are having kids out of wedlock. It's all types of races. But black people are ahead. You know what I'm saying? It's more us than other races. But, you know, that's a whole nother show. But we would definitely have a show about that, the whole single parent thing and, you know, being more selective. But I do appreciate him for calling in and stating his opinion. He did make a lot of good points. But it's a lot of people having stuff to say in the chat rooms, you know, a lot of people going back and forth and things like that. But other people are saying that being raised in the hood is a recipe for the disaster, not just being raised in a single-parent household. Green Beasley in the chat room is saying that the black men have lost a gender war. You know, this isn't really a gender war issue. You know, and it's unfortunate that people have turned a lot of stuff into a gender war issue, but it shouldn't be. I think first and foremost we need to come together, you know, as men and women, you know, and find a solution. You know, we need the men to step up and be there for their kids. If the relationship ends, that doesn't mean that you just stop being a father. You know, we need the women to be more selective, have more respect for yourself. Don't just be comfortable with being the jump off or being the side chick.
Right.
You know, raise your standards. You're worth more than that. If he can't introduce you to his mother and claim you as his girl in front of everybody, that's not who you want to be with, let alone have a child with. If he's denying you now, he's not going to stick around and help you raise that baby. You know, and it's so many times I see girls in that same situation. I have friends in that situation, and it's definitely self-induced. You know, when you have four kids by four different people, and then all of a sudden you wind up pregnant again, and now the man is not shit. No, bitch, you're not shit. You know what I'm saying? Because you know what it takes to have a baby. You know what it takes to get pregnant. And at the end of the day, it's our bodies. So we have to take responsibility for that. A lot of these guys out here, 99, and I'm not even going to give a percentage, just a lot of these guys out here and a lot of girls will be on some trifling shit. A lot of guys will be willing to sleep with a girl raw, not use anything, you know what I'm saying? So as a woman, you have to make sure that he's willing to strap up. You have to make sure that you're on birth control if you're not ready to have a child. So, you know, we can place the blame and we can slice it any way we want to, but a lot of it is personal responsibility. And being able to look in the mirror and understand your faults and how do you learn from that and not make the same mistake repeatedly.
You know what, T, and I agree with you. Like, when we decide to take on that topic, I'm pretty sure that's going to be 2 to 3 shows respectively just to start.
Right.
Just to start. And the thing is, like, I've no longer called it a gender war. It's really a war about ego, selective hearing and vision. Like, people want to pass the buck and say, what about the men? What about the women? And no one wants to look at anything or themselves especially clearly. So it's no people allow that loose term of gender war, you know, to romanticize the whole thing. It's just people who choose to fuck up or get caught up. Just as you said, there's women who run into guys who told them, I'm not going to be there with you. Or they show you that they're not reliable mate. But you know what? You got people who have this fantasy to make, you know, trying to turn shit into diamonds. And they get mad when they don't succeed, which is every time. Or you get guys looking for a supermodel who just happens to be willing enough to look past all the silly shit and find goodness in him. When really, both genders are not grounded in reality. They're on this fantasy World of Warcraft, fantasy boyfriend, girlfriend league type of rules. And it just doesn't apply in reality. Just doesn't.
Right.
So whenever we do that show, it's going to be interesting. Some feelings are going to get hurt, but personally, I say fuck it. But.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be an interesting show. We're definitely going to do it. I mean, it's not a gender wars situation, but we're definitely going to touch on that topic. This topic was more to talk about, you know, the whole gun situation and the school shooting and just, you know, just things like that. But we'll definitely get on that a few episodes from now because we're working on a few other things right now. probably next month, into the new year. Yeah, that'd be a good show to start off with the new year, I think. A show on, you know, how we can better the community, because it's not just about slinging mud. It's not just about throwing black women under the bus or black men under the bus. You know, it's also about healing and how do we change. Because it's easier to just be like, all black women are whores and sluts and fuck y'all and y'all ain't shit and all y'all need to die. Okay, that's kind of harsh, you know what I'm saying? It's like, dang, really? So we're all, you know, on Twitter taking naked pictures and with our kids in the frame, you know, so it gets kind of important when people paint everyone with that same brush. But again, like I've always said it, people were talking about Sergeant Willie Pete in the chat room, me and him were cool. You know, me and Sergeant Willie Pete, you know that me and Sergeant Willie Pete were cool. Me and him had several conversations, you know, and it'd be interesting if I can get him on the show. I should email him on Gen X, see if he would come on. That would stir a lot of controversy. But with me, how I look at it with a lot of the gender war videos and all that stuff, if the shit don't apply, let it fly. Most of the people who get the maddest and who get the most upset is because they're guilty of it. You got six kids by six different people. You know, and they're calling you out. Or, you know, you're just a career welfare hustler. You don't want to work. You feel like everybody owes you something just because you're a mother. I'm a mother. Nobody owes me shit. I still get my ass up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to work. You know, so I think it's just a lot of excuses. But, again, that's going to be another show. We'll address it then. You know, I didn't want to turn it into a gender wars topic, but we'll definitely have another show, and I hope that gentleman joins us. Because, you know, he did make some interesting points, and that's why I do stuff like this, because I like to hear from everybody. You know, we may not always agree. Some of y'all are offended in the chat room by what he said. Others are cool with it. But, you know, I think it's cool to hear all points of views, you know, from all different types of people. You know, as long as it's not getting straight disrespectful and racist, you know, I'll listen to anybody's point of view. But if your whole thing is just to call me the N-word and tell me I'm, you know, I'm not nothing because I'm the N-word, I'm not about to listen to that because you're not making a valid point. You're just basically just being racist, you know. But we will definitely do a show on that. And yes, I'm still going to do a show this Wednesday, Jamal. I'm trying to get Rhonda Lee, the woman who was fired from the news station about her hair. I've been talking to her on Facebook, so she said that she would be willing to come on the show, so I'm trying to work a few things. We're trying to pull a few strings right now. So hopefully she'll be on this Wednesday. We'll see. I'm going to email her and try and get a hold of her again because in light of the school shooting, you know, that's taking everybody's mind off of a lot of other news. So I'm going to reach out to her again. But, yeah, we're still going to do a show Wednesday regardless of who's here and who's not.
Well, we definitely need to talk about that. We kind of hinted around it about you know, embracing your ethnicity or your natural self. So that's definitely going to be an interesting show in itself. Looking forward to that one.
Right. It will be an interesting show. I haven't even logged in to my Gen X. I ain't even logged into my Gen X account in a long time. I've been there forever.
I've been there in about a year.
I miss the guys at Gen X. They were all nice to me. They were all cool. I had no beef with none of them guys. I was like, why are you friends with them? They're not talking about me. I have no problem with them. You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. You know what I've noticed, even like with YouTube and, you know, just on the internet? Opinions are cool as long as everybody agrees with you.
Yeah.
You know, as long as everybody's on the same page, oh, right on. But if you say some shit to ruffle some feathers, all of a sudden, ban this person, no freedom of speech, revoke his Fifth Amendment, you know. So I just feel like people have the right to state their opinion, but, you know, you can state it in a respectful way. You can state it without demeaning a whole group of people as well. You know, but I like to hear other people's points of views. You know, I'm just a very open-minded person when it comes to a lot of stuff, and I just don't take a lot of things personal. Life for me is too short to take every little thing personal, to take offense to every little thing, you know. A lot of people don't like Tommy Soyomoto. I always mispronounce his name. He's so cool. But, Tommy on YouTube, I have no issue with him. You know, is he over the top at times? Yes, he can be. You know, can he be, you know, dramatic and curse and go in on black women? Yes, he does. But I agree with some of the things he says. I can be objective and listen to what he says, and, you know, I don't agree with everything he says, but that's called listening with an objective ear. And that's what I do with everyone. So I try not to take offense to anything that people say, because, once again, if it doesn't apply, I let it fly. You know, it is what it is.
Good.
But, yeah, that would be a good show. You know, we're definitely trying to have, you know, more shows. We're trying to get guests, you know, people that we can interview on the show and things like that. So if you guys have any ideas on different guests that you guys would like to hear from, I'll see what I can do as far as trying to get them in. And somebody keeps saying that they love us in the chat room. We love you too, Green Beasley. Feel like singing the Barney theme song. I love you. We're going to type that about 15 times.
He also wants a hug. He wants a special hug.
You are such a mess. But, yeah, I mean, this news was crazy. I guess my whole thing is that it's going to be interesting to see what reforms come up within the next few days, to see, you know, if anything really changes. Because you know how we do during tragedies. People are sad for a while. Hearts are heavy for a while. And it's genuine, don't get me wrong. But then, you know, within 3 to 4 months, things go back to the same. You know, people being ignorant and nasty with each other online, in the schools, bullying, you know. So I wonder how long this whole kumbaya situation will last. I want it to last as long as possible, you know, because I like when people come together, and especially to try and figure out some positive changes, you know. But I'm just not agreeing with the banning of the Second Amendment or getting rid of all guns. And even though, I don't have a gun, but I don't agree with it, because I know a lot of people who are legally able to own guns, and they're good law-abiding people. And I don't think they should be stripped of their guns, you know, because of a few lunatics.
Yeah. I agree with you that the banning of weapons, assault weapons or whatever, that, if you really think about it, that's pretty much taking the weapons out of your hands to defend yourself if need be. Now, because again, criminals, they don't give a shit. They're going to take a weapon. They're not going to register weapons, as you said. And they're going to do what they're going to do. But as far as you, if you're going to hand your right away to defend yourself against whatever comes, especially a tyrannical government, then that's a choice you have set before you.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Right. It's going to be really interesting. And then, Piers Morgan irritates me. You know who Piers Morgan is, the dude from CNN, the British guy?
Yeah, I know about
him. For some reason, he kept popping up on my timeline. I'm like, I have to pull up his profile. Am I following him? Because all his tweets kept popping up on my timeline. I'm like, I don't even follow him. But he was just like, oh, guns need to be banned, and look at us, look at it, you know, how it is in England. No one has a gun, and you guys have 9,000 murders a year, and we only have 5, and he was pulling up all these real, you know, all these statistics or whatever, and he was just kind of irritating me, you know. And it's like, this isn't England, you know, this is America. And unfortunately, yeah, are there too many guns out here? Yes. Are there too many nutcases running around with guns? Yes. But that's America. You're not in England. So you trying to say that, you know, trying to compare America to England and saying we should be more like England, that doesn't resolve the issue at hand. It's like, you know, that it just doesn't make any sense. That's like me telling somebody, you know, I want to be taller. I want to be 5'11". And they're like, yeah, you should just look like Naomi Campbell. Well, how does that make me grow to be 5'11"? You know, that makes no sense. Like you just saying, look at England and you guys should be more like England. That doesn't resolve anything here. And his, like, tweets were just irritating me. And they just kept popping up in my timeline.
Well, if we look at it, that's something to continue to stir the pot, to keep the conversation hot. Like, everyone's fresh in their mind. It's already enough you've seen on the news. May woke up to it. Not even, I haven't even looked at the news ever since. And it's still fresh in my mind. So, again, you got some people who are just by the heartstrings still. And, you know, again, that's to keep them going. Like, you know, we need to ban these weapons. We need to do all this. And you need to really read and research what you guys could potentially be giving away on, I guess, as a host to try to
Is that your bootleg phone?
Huh?
Is that your phone?
Could be.
You sound like a typewriter. I'm going to need you to fix that.
Oh, that's not mine. That's not mine.
What is that noise? Look at Blog Talk Radio at it again, trying to censor us. It's been a few weeks since we've had any type of drama as far as audio. There they go. They couldn't let us be. They're like, y'all talking too much about the Second Amendment. We need to end this show. And we got about 5 minutes left anyways. It's been a really interesting show. And it's been a lot of good discussion going on in the chat room. Listen, your phone sounds like crickets chirping. They're putting up some good statistics in the chat room. Bonafide is saying she heard someone had a stat, and they said there's 10,000 gun homicides in the U.S. compared to Japan's 22. Do you think it has less to do with the guns or more to do with the culture? You know what? I definitely believe it has more to do with the culture.
Right.
Japanese culture is huge on respect. You know, before you can even walk into a Japanese person's house, you better take off your shoes. That's how it is in my house, too. But Japanese culture is very big on respect. You know, if teenagers are acting a fool, if they're, you know, vandalizing or being rambunctious, they get dealt with. And
yeah.
A lot of these other countries, they don't have to have massive jails like the prison industrial complex like we do here. They're going to nip it in the bud. That's what me and my friend, we had gotten into an argument about that when she was saying something about just sending people to prison that prevents crime. That's what she was saying. If you get caught with a gun, an illegal gun, you should basically be locked up for life. That's going to stop all illegal guns. People are just going to throw their guns in the trash once they find out that they'll get life in prison. This is what she literally called me with Friday. And I eventually had to hang up on her because she just made no sense. I said, prison time has never deterred crime in America, point blank, period. Because
never.
It's almost like a badge of, you know, courage. It's almost like a badge of honor.
Right.
Going to prison. For some people, not everybody, but for some people, it's almost like a badge of honor. So, crime, you know, threatening people with time has never deterred anything. If you molest a child, you can look at an automatic 10 to 15 years, but you still have these sickles molesting children. Just like if you kill somebody and you shoot somebody, you know, in a drive-by, you're looking at an automatic, you know, 25 years. That doesn't stop any of the shootings happening in Chicago. So punishment has never deterred crime in America because of the mentality. And then the fact that when you go to prison, you got some prisoners doing better than me. Cable, good, three hots in the cot, cable, porn magazines. I was watching some prison show on MSNBC. They had iPhones. They stuck them in, of course. But it's like, damn, I don't even have an iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, so it's almost like, to me, it's definitely the mentality. I don't believe that it's just the fact that there's more guns here. It's the mentality of the people. You know, and in other countries, their prisons are horrible. You go to prison in Saudi Arabia, you go to prison in Central America, you do not want to go back. There's literally like 15 to 20 people in one cell. You know, there's no accommodations. There's no get your GED and, you know, put money on your books and commissary. There's none of that. You're in there doing hard time. So a lot of those people, they do not reoffend, point blank.
I agree with you on that. Again, I just don't understand the idea about giving, pretty much feeding the prison industrial complex. I mean, that's just, you know, choosing your poison. You're picking a cyanide pill, or you want to, you know, inject air into your veins. I mean, it's just no different. You know, so that didn't make any sense at all, you know, with that suggestion personally.
Right. But, I mean, would you agree that it's more of a mentality thing as opposed to a gun thing?
It's a mentality. Again, someone talked about there aren't that many gun violence casualties or fatalities in Japan, but again, you know, they handle things different. There's people, they don't count the people who've been stabbed or, you know, murdered in different ways. So, I mean, okay, one vice here, you know, they handle it another way in other places. So it just doesn't add up. It just doesn't.
Right. Bonafide is saying in Norway, prisons look like five-star hotels. Maybe it's European prisons. There was a man who murdered 77 people who was in a Norwegian prison. I think it's over there. It's more like rehabilitation. And, yes, every country is different. You know, every country is different. But I think here we give a lot of prisoners a lot of perks. You know, when you can go to prison and get free medical, but somebody who's working at Burger King has no access to medical, or, you know, if they end up pushing Obamacare through. So I think the system is definitely, it's definitely messed up. And I just feel like, you know, it's more or less the whole prison industrial complex. Like, you do the littlest infraction and they're trying to send you to prison for, you know, 5 to 10 years. Where really you should be trying to put somebody in there and rehabilitate them. I definitely believe more in rehabilitation than just throwing somebody in prison and locking away the key. They go Block Talk again.
You know, there has to be some better alternatives than what's being presented out here, especially people talking about banned guns and, you know, all these crazy methods. I mean, there has to be something innovative, you know, that makes sure that, you know, all this nonsense is at least cut down. You won't go stop it completely. I mean, you're not going to have that utopia landscape that people seen on Demolition Man for a moment. So we have to find out seriously what can we really do aside from rebuild the fragmented power block that was the family unit. What can we really do?
Right. Yeah, we're definitely going to be coming up with just, you know, different solutions as the weeks go on. You know, it's cool to talk and chop it up, but we definitely want to come up with, like, just different ideas, you know, as far as trying to rebuild that family structure and maybe even looking out for kids, you know, okay, that's not your child, but taking them under your wing just because you are a male and that child is a male. And then also teaching women on what to look for as far as not entrusting any and everybody with your child. You know, just because somebody is a male does not mean that they need to be around your child. Because everybody's not a good role model. Everybody's not fit to be a parent, let alone a babysitter. I read this story. Somebody, are you horny? Because he just keeps typing about making love and everything else in the chat room. Good God. He's in the chat room. It's like the third time he done wrote that.
Yes, hey, Green.
I agree, bona fide.
Hey, Green, you might want to, you know, step out for a minute and rub one out and then come back after you wash your hands.
It's late night. Green time, get him some.
Yeah.
So my answer was he hot. He going to say true. What you smoking on, Green? Green smoking on that green.
Seeing Blog Talk is not.
I love Block Talk. No, but I had read this story, you guys, the other day. It happened 2 years ago. I just happened to run across it. Oh, my goodness. I cannot believe this. This happened, I want to say it was either in Detroit. What's the other ratchet city? No, it wasn't Florida. It was Detroit or Philly. And basically, the male babysitter was left in charge of watching a three-month-old baby. Okay? So it was a mother and father. I guess they were still together. They had the neighbor watch this three-month-old baby. Ronan, when they showed this man's mugshot, he looked like a killer. I'm like, he don't look like a babysitter. Like, and it wasn't the fact that it was a mugshot. I mean, he just, nothing about his demeanor, nothing about him looked like screen babysitter to me. You know what I'm saying? He just looked really, really rough and rugged. And I'm not saying that rough and rugged dudes cannot be babysitters. It's not what I'm saying. But just, there was nothing about this man that screamed baby or sitter. Anyways, the baby was crying, as three-month-old babies do. So to shut the baby up, he rubbed Drano on the baby. And the Drano ended up soaking into the baby's pores and killed the baby. How sick is that? You know, when I say that you cannot, leave anybody with your child. You just can't. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, because I think it had hung up.
No,
did you hear that? Oh, Satan.
Yeah,
but yeah, when they showed his mugshot, and then they were trying to talk to him, it's just like he looked more like a dope boy than a babysitter. It was just like, you know, I wouldn't trust him with my cat. And they're like, well, why did you rub Drano on the baby and da da da? And I'm not talking right now. I don't feel like talking. And you know, he was just trying to jump in the police. They were trying to put in the police car. He didn't want to make no statement. And the father and the mother were sitting there crying. And that's what I said, we have to be smart. Like, everybody is not fit to be a parent, point blank. Everybody is not fit to watch a child.
Yeah. No, not everyone is fit to, you know, handle your children. Just aren't. And that's one of the many dangers we have to deal with as far as people suggesting homeschooling or even sending them back to school. Because there's always those forms of predators out there who are looking for that opportunity. Especially the ones that are most closest to your children. They're the main suspect. So we have to really think about this. We really have to.
Right. Yeah, I think he might have been high when he did that. But it was sad because the baby was only 3 months old. It was just too much going on. But we're going to go ahead and get ready to end the show because we're over now. So it looks like it's about to... It's about to go over. But I want to thank everybody who came out tonight. We had a good group of people in the chat room. I see some more people that came in at the last minute. So thank you, guys. We're going to go ahead and end the show. We will be doing a show this Wednesday, and we're going to be talking about some other topics as well. I'm still trying to work on trying to get Rhonda Lee to come in and talk about some, you know, just different issues. So we'll definitely keep that going. You have anything else to say, Ronan?
I want to say thanks to a brilliant host and a very intelligent audience for making these shows not just entertaining but more exciting to do. So that's all I want to say.
Right. So you guys have a good night. Got to get up early. I'm off, so I ain't got to get up early for work tomorrow. You have to work tomorrow? I don't.
I got to work tomorrow, but I just want to say to Green, you might want to rub one out real quick because you're just in a loving mood right now.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later.
All right, now.